Father, we bless your glorious name tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for your great faithfulness. Daily, load us with benefits. Now, we don't have anxiety about tomorrow. You already told us sufficient for each day as the evil there, Lord. When tomorrow comes, it will take care of itself. So we thank you, Father, for the joy of the Lord today. And when it comes, we're going to have the joy of the Lord tomorrow. Amen. That your joy no man take from you. Say, my joy I give with you, my peace I give unto you. So Lord, we thank you. So that my joy may remain in you. Lord, we thank you, Father. Glory be to you. Thank you for the wonderful testimony of the grace, the deliverance, the rebuking, the devourer. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory be to your name, Father. Now, Lord, as we read your word tonight, Lord, bless us, Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So tonight we just continue our series, on the aftercourse and manifestation. We are living at the end times. That's why we are talking about these things. We went through the book of Daniel, through the book of Revelation. We call it the apocalyptic books of the Bible and some of that, And we are living in this era of time. That's why we are talking about them so much. And much more so, there is so much going on around the world, Christendom, really, about these things, We thank God for God's children. At least people are watching about these things, And there are some errors here and there, but God is able to correct his people, amen. If we have the open heart, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now we have talked about so many of the signs of the coming of the Antichrist and so on. In fact, we are going through 15 of them. Just in one line or something, we talk about the Jews looking for a earthly deliverer. We talk about that. So much is happening around that area now, And there are doing some things in Iran, trying to destroy all the atomic thing in India, So much is going on in India, And of course, talk about the psychics predicting even the appearance of a dictator. Bible chronology tells us that we already passed 6,000 years. It's type of a transition time to God's own week of 1,000 years. You see that? The number 666, like we never see before, the type it will take, the district that it will take, like never before in the history of the world. We saw that one everywhere we can think. It's up there. The time of the Antichrist forerunner, talk about some of them, made of Hitler. And then we talk about the many, many later Antichrist that have shown up upon the face of the earth. I'm waiting for the re-tribulation Antichrist. So we talk about the flood of deceiving spirits, talk about the rise of devil worship, talk about the appearance of great signs and lying wonders, rise of violence that paved way for a dictatorship. We talk about the inflation sign for the Antichrist, talk about the sign of the accumulation of wealth that and the uprising of the underprivileged, The United Nations sign, talk about them. Talk about the sign of the computer. The advent of worldwide live television. We went through all those things. Tonight, by God's grace, I want to zero in on what I will call the forerunner of the beast. That tonight as well. And we have talked about him a lot of times, like even tonight. So the forerunner of the beast. So, having covered the many, many events that are paving the way for the coming of the Antichrist, it will be revealing, with the aid of the scriptures, to trace world development as they will begin to move toward the actual reign of the beast. There are many erroneous ideas today, even throughout the ages and so on, about what the appearance of the Antichrist will look like. And some of them are really quite fanciful, what people think about the Antichrist. Some think that there are those who see him as a baleful personage with thunder and lightning flashing when he speaks. Some imagine the Antichrist as with arms and hoofs and a pitchfork in his hand and looking somewhat like the artist's impression of the devil, these things are out there really, those comic books and something like that, I have put on him and things like that, Well, actually, if that be the case, really, as they are thinking, people will not even, they will flee from him rather, rather than coming around him, to come and make him, to give him a chance to be a world leader and so on. So, the other way around, although it will be Satan's masterpiece at first, he will appear as a man inspiring the confidence of the world, contrary to what people are really thinking, you know. There will be a human side of him too. Like any other politician, he may kiss babies and perform humanitarian acts. You know, see the Pope and all these kind of things, you know. He will do all these kind of things, you know, at the beginning, you know. So, the Lord Jesus had a forerunner. We know that, John the Baptist and all of that, you know. And will the Antichrist have a forerunner too? Well, yes. The truth is that the Antichrist has already had several forerunners, but one especially stand out beyond the rest. So tonight is the forerunner of the beast, you know. And like I said, there are many of them. We zero in on just the most conspicuous one in the history of the world. There is an old saying that history tends to repeat itself. Amen. Praise the Lord. So also even the Antichrist thing, the same thing will happen, and something like that, you know, history will repeat itself. So in the Bible, we all know by now, we see many, many instances in which a character was a type of someone who appears later on the scene, in the Bible. Of course, for example, the life of various figures in the Old Testament, each of them typify or type some phase of the Lord's life. Even the Lord's life and so on, in the Old Testament things and so on, we see Joseph, for example, a type of Christ. We see Moses, a type of Christ, a prophet like myself, with the Lord and God raised up again at the end of time. Joseph stood for so many pieces of silver, so was the Lord. Joseph loved of his father, and the Lord said the Lord, father loved him. Joseph with the coat of many colors and things like that, sold and so on, hated of his brethren, the Jews hated the Lord. So we see that kind of thing in India, you know. So even in the Bible, we see that in India, we see David typed the Christ. You know, he was a king, he was a prophet, and so on, typing the Christ. So there are also characters in history who obviously are a type of the Antichrist. We can name many of them in the Bible. The Pharaoh of Moses' day was a type of the Antichrist, really. How about Haman in the days of Esther? Want to destroy the Jews, type of the Antichrist, you know. So Antiochus Epiphanes. That's a name many people don't know. But if you remember in our Daniel series, we talk about him. This Antiochus Epiphanes actually was this. When Alexander the Great was killed, right? I mean, when he died, at the age of 33 or something like that, you know, his kingdom was divided among his four generals. And that is Syria, Egypt, Macedonia, and Asia Minor. That's the territory that Alexander was holding and so on. So when he passed on, his four generals divided among themselves. One of those generals is called Seleucus. Yeah, Seleucus. One of those generals. Now, in that dynasty, or Seleucus, one of those generals, so the eighth king in that dynasty is called this Epiphanes Antiochus. It's in the line of those four, one of those four generals, you know. He was the eighth in that dynasty. He was the one at his reign. They went to the Jewish temple and polluted it. And he killed a pig and poured the whatever it is in the temple and erect, you know, images of like Jupiter and so on in the temple. So one of the deadliest and the hater of Jews in that day, you know. So let's leave him alone, you know, and so on. Anyway, so of course Julius Caesar was one of them, you know. So apparently, in some way, fulfill such a role as the forerunner of the Antichrist. Well, an obvious way to understand the methods by which the Antichrist will rise to power is to study his antitype or prototype. That's right. Because history tends to repeat itself, right? And Bible reading omits that to let some of these things happen before in the history. So Caesar and Antiochus belong to ancient times, right? Long, long ago. However, picking a man of the 20th century, Adolf Hitler, let's talk on that one. Just zero on him tonight. He has featured in so many times in this our series, right? So tonight I want to drill down into the character of this man to really see how the Antichrist will really manifest himself, because in so many ways he just typed the Antichrist in so many ways that even people of Israel know it as another, you know. So well, interesting the Hitler's activities, we can get an insight on how the Antichrist will rise to power and take over control of the nations. We may also even get a hint on how it will come to its end, need the Antichrist, by looking at this Hitler, you know. So, of course, it's so deep in history, I can't go through all of this, but the main highlight. Hitler became such an inhuman monster that it is not even pleasant to rehearse the gruesome story of this man. Nor is it even of much interest to us to go into detail concerning the horrible acts for which this man was responsible. But a brief study of Hitler's early life, of how he won the confidence of the nation and came into power, is essential if we are to get clear picture of how the beast of Revelation 13 achieved such a great authority for in such a short time. Can you imagine that? Short time. Maybe when he comes to power and so on, very, very short time and so on, he attempted to lead the world and something like that, you know. So Hitler was the same thing. Of course, Revelation 13 goes into considerable details about the beast reign and its activities in our Revelation series, right? And 17th chapter of Revelation, of course, informed us that 10 nations will lend the Antichrist their strength and give him support in his bid for world dominion. He went through all those things. It will be recorded, of course, that Satan once offered the Lord Jesus Christ the kingdom of this world, right? And the Lord, of course, spurned him. He rejected it and some of that, you know. So that is in Luke chapter 4. The Lord, so of course, but Hitler, when he was on the scene, on the other hand, you know, coveted world power with maniacal desire. He did. But was cut off before he attained his goal. That is in history, right? Now, we're going to talk more about him tonight because he's one of the ones that typed the Antichrist mode after the 20th century here, you know. So, the Antichrist, we eagerly accept Satan's offer. And we sell himself utterly to the devil in order to obtain this power. It is certain that at the beginning, the Antichrist will not reveal his true character. See, he won't. He will appear as a humanitarian, the world savior, who will bring order out of chaos. That's how he will come. Only after he has received full power will he begin to reveal his real satanic nature. Our brother, we always say that Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, you know. That's why we always describe him as one of that, you know. Anyway, only after he has received full power will he begin to reveal his real satanic nature. Rising toward prominence from a small beginning, he will, like Hitler, astonish the world with military prowess. He will do it, you know. Moving in lightning strokes, he will crush three nations, one after the other, until the peoples of the world will exclaim in wonder and say, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" That's Revelation, of course, 13. When we went through that one, 13, 4 of Revelation, without me going to read that scripture, you know. So we explain like that, you know. Once he has gained supreme power, what happens? He will throw off his mask and reveal his real nature. Undoubtedly, strong opposition will be right against him, but it will be too late to be effective. That's how it's going to happen. The Antichrist will not hesitate to use the tremendous forces of destruction which have been prepared unwittingly by the scientists. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. The atomic power, right? You know, you won't exist at all, you know, to do it. And you're going to see when I talk about Hitler tonight, what he tried to do at the end of his life. It's similar to that, you know. And so, of course, what was that? 13 of Revelation says that, and he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So, after crushing three nations, Bible tells us, the stress of annihilation would be sufficient to intimidate and deter any other country which might seek to oppose him. That will happen, you know. So you will see that Adolf Hitler did the same thing. I mean, it happened in his life. Let's zero down on him now, you know. It will be therefore be beneficial now, having said all these things, to take note of this man, Adolf Hitler, in our discussion tonight of the rise of the Antichrist. This was a man who, beyond doubt, has been a real forerunner of the beast of Revelation 13. He sought to exterminate a race, and he almost succeeded. And in doing that, murdering 6 million Jews. Can you imagine? See? The Antichrist, we have the same murderous hatred for the Jews. But over and above that, in addition, we regard all Christians with an implacable hatred, and we seek to exterminate Christianity from the face of the earth. To happen, Antichrist system, you know. Yet, as aforementioned, his real intention will not be be manifest at the first. The majority of the inhabitants of the earth will not even recognize the real role of the Antichrist, or it is too late to stop him. That's what's going to happen. Now, this Hitler has a dual personality, like the Antichrist. A dual personality. I just do some little research here and there about him and so on. Now, so do not look necessarily for the Antichrist to be a man given to the ordinary evils of the ordinary man in the street. Don't think of him like that and so on. Hitler, for example, he abhorred drinking and he hates cigarettes. In his office, he put big sign, no smoking. Hitler, you see? Now, also, when they are doing any kind of a ceremonial thing, instead of drinking wine, he used mineral water. So, you see how they come? Subtly. You think he's a good man, you know? Not really, you know? So, this is coming from Hitler now. People who are very close to him gave all these things about Hitler and so on, you know? So he was said to abhor alcohol and smoking. The man that was so often brutal, inflexible, this is how they describe him, senselessly furious, will appear as a deeply sympathetic, artistically sensitive king, the kindly father of his people, they said, ever ready to extend a helping hand to those in trouble. At the beginning, see how it came? See? The people who had known him only in the second phase, how should face his eyes? That the first phase, where it was like a lamb. This has to be like a dragon in the end, right? At the end of the dragon. So the people who had known him only in the second phase could not possibly even imagine that the other Hitler was like that. You can't even imagine him like that, you know. So this dual nature will be in the Antichrist too. Can you see the many ways I type the Antichrist? You know, just like the same thing and so on. So then the question arises, how did it happen that the people of Germany went along with Adolf Hitler? History has it that as event progressed, people follow him with a conflicting emotion initially. But as one great resounding success after another took place, confidence, not even that, only that, and even enthusiasm grew about this man. The slogan of the people of Germany at that time was that, leave it to Hitler. That's what they said. No matter what, leave it to Hitler. This is a real thing in the history. Leave it, he was so magnificent, the way he was doing things. Oh, they now like worshiping him. Leave it to Hitler, no matter what, he will do it, and something like that, you know. So these are the real slogan in history. So, as the saying goes, nothing succeeds like success. People say like that. Nothing succeeds like success, right? That's how he got them, right? You know, so, and let me, if I even go forward, he has a boyful friend, like Jonathan and David, you know, that went everywhere, I described him, he even wrote the memoir about him and something like that, you know. Isa had a terrible experience one night, you know, and we all know it was demonic possession. You know, he and this guy went to one mountain and something like that in the night, back to 3 a.m. So, in short, they came back, then Isla went back there. Where are you going back? 3 a.m., where are you going back? Anyway, from that night on, Isla's life changed. Whatever happened, we know it's a demon possession. Just like Judas, when Satan entered into him, right? The same thing will happen to the beast, this is what will happen to him. No, the same thing. Can you see how he type the Antichrist in so many ways and so that you know? So anyway, so let us put that in mind. From that night on, all those good characters just change overnight. He become brutal, inflexible, and so that you know, and wicked, you know. So from that time on, demon activity. So anyway, the people of Europe will watch the brilliant victory of the coming Superman as he emerges as a world leader. What will happen? You know, the Antichrist will have a charmed life until the moment of crisis comes, you know. So that's what the world is going to get looking at history and the Bible, you know. Now, indeed, though wounded unto death, this Antichrist will be restored and will go on to greater things. Many attempts were attempted on Hitler. And at one time, during, I don't know what happened, his own friend went to follow him, but he escaped. I will talk about one of them very soon. So, step by step, Hitler faithfully followed his schedule in mere camp. Where, I'm not a German, that's a German word, right? Mere camp. It's a M-E-A-I-N-K-A-M-P-F. It's very popular in history and so on. The English version is My Struggle or My Fight. It was his autobiography written in 1925. What is in there? It details or describes the process by which Hitler became anti-Semitic in this autobiography called Mein Kampf, you know. And it contains outlines of his political ideology and future plans for Germany. That's what is in there, that autobiography. After becoming a Führer, they call it a Führer, or if you want in English, a ruthless, tyrannical leader, he became that after that terrible experience. He unleashed his army of branches. They call them branches. As a special Nazi army, you know, that he had at one that, you know, and they won branches, you know. So he unleashed his army of branches who commenced a national campaign of violence. Jews were rounded up, sent to concentration camps, and their businesses confiscated. See, by this man, how much he hated the Jews. Later, the gas oven glowed as 6 million Jews perished under the rule of this man. Right, how much he hated the Jews? What a type of Antichrist, really. When the Antichrist, anyone, breaks his covenant with the Jews, he will destroy all who will not accept him too. The same thing that Hitler demonstrated, you know. So the demon in Hitler told him the exact hour to make his military moves. Nobody thinks like that, like the way this man moved, like lightning, military, like I said, like Alexander is great. Sweet, you know, something like that, you know. Anyway, under the power of demons, right? You know, he made this decision at most implausible times, you know. He did it and so on, unexpectedly and so on, like, you know. Even the generals were amazed, who worked with him, they were amazed at this evil genius. They were always wrong. Every time they were always wrong, and Hitler will be right. See? That's what history says, you know. And during the 9 years after Hitler came into power, the demon never failed in one time in this evil success, you know. Not one time. Always right and do it, you know, and conquer that, you know. By the end of 1941, he had all Europe under his heel, and a large part of European Russia was under his heel. But then suddenly, he began to take a different turn now. But then suddenly, you see, the devil mocked him now. See, the devil is, the half warmth in them, right? Don't you know? So, all of a sudden now, the devil begins to mock him. Everything begins to go wrong for him. His guesses were now invariably turning out wrong. This is just a contrived issue of this man, just making the highlights, you know. He commanded his generals under the threat of death not to retreat in the fighting going on at that time. You are not going to retreat. Retreat is death, you know. And as the Nazi war machine withdrew through Ukraine in those days, you need to withdraw through Ukraine, he demanded the extermination of the Slavs. He did. It's all in history. Millions of Soviet men, women, and children were murdered by the firing squads under Hitler. Again, back to the Antichrist. When things begin to go wrong, for the Antichrist. It will too, you know. It will slaughter all who get in his way or who oppose him in the very slightest way. Can you see how much he typed the Antichrist all the way? Anyway, Hitler screamed when things were going wrong. Here are his words. He screamed, "I will not yield an inch of ground." He was still thinking that he still has power, right? "I will not even yield an inch of ground." But disaster followed disaster. Vast armies perished in the battlefield while generals vainly tried to carry out his order. Unreasonable invasion, right? I had to do it. It's not a penalty of death, right? And many of them perished after all that, you know. Hitler listened only to the voice of the demon that was leading him down to the way of hell. That he doesn't listen to any man, only to the demon. That's all he does, you know. So, the third rank, where R-E-I-C-H, again, German, that is the name they call the German state. Between 1933 and 1945, they call it the Third Reich, you know. So that is the name of the German state at that time. Which he had said, he has boasted before, that the Third Reich will last 1,000 years. See, he boasted. But all of a sudden now, things were crumbling down right there before his eyes, you know. Hitler was stoned, seeing all these things. He cried again in his voice, "The German people have betrayed me." That's what he said, you know. See, and he seemed to have a demoniac passion to see the war go up in flames. That's what he was thinking. That the war should go up in flames, you know, along with his blasted hope. Can you see now? I can now see why in the time of the Antichrist it can be that way. The Lord has to shorten the time, right? Let there be no flesh be saved, you know. When they get that way, you know, doesn't care. I'm going down, it's going in flames. Let the world go into flames with me, that's all, you know. But it's not going to happen because the heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Praise the Lord. You shorten the time, you can't do it, you know. Anyway, the German generals now tried to assassinate him. They tried. In fact, they came very close. They almost succeeded, but not quite. So, at one time, they set a briefcase filled with dynamite next to Hitler while he was sitting. Incidentally, now there was one soldier who was crossing by. His foot just knocked the thing, you know, 4 seconds to detonation. This man passing by, and his foot just, you know, match the briefcase and then move away from Hitler. Oh boy! So 4 seconds to detonation. So, but the thing blasted anyway, blew up the roof, and he just moved Hitler and just, you know, trained against the wall, but he didn't die, you know. So. Because he was, I mean, his own people want to kill him, you know. Absolutely, yeah. So anyway, so the helicopter was blown out and half the roof was wet down. So Hitler was hurled against the wall by the blast, but he was not dead. Filled with rage now, you know, he was angry. He sent the Gestapo. The Gestapo was a Nazi police. Secret police, for the Gestapo, you know, that is the Nazi police. Tell them, after all those rebels, you know, and you know what they did to them? Wicked, wicked things. So, and he put them into action, the secret police and so on. And they seized, tortured, and hanged hundreds of army officers by piano wire on meat hooks until they strangled. This is coming from history, you know. Real thing are coming from history. Can you see how wicked this man is? You know, wickedness, you know. I mean, only demons can do kind of a thing. Demon, you know. Was demon, I mean demon, I mean you know, rude and so on. So as the nightmare world crashed around Hitler, he retreated into his world of fantasy, you know. The demon still told him he could be successful. Can you imagine a liar, you know? We were thinking so. So he ordered the battle of the Bulge. Where? Think about it, what was that? So the battle of the Bulge was the battle, was the last major German offensive campaign on the Western Front during World War II, called the Battle of the Bulge, B-U-L-G-E. So he ordered it, you know, and that took place December 16, 1944 to January 25, 1945. So he sent a secret, in fact, right to kill the US president. So he sent a secret band of commandos to assassinate General Eisenhower. Did. Now he was so insecure, he now hired spies to spy on spies. You know what I'm saying? So he had that on spies. On top of those spies, he now even had other spies who are spying on the spies. He became so insecure. All coming from Italy, but all was in vain. Time was off, you know? All was in vain. So only at the end did he begin to see that he was the victim of his megalomaniacal, I mean, obsessed with power, you know, to dominate people and so on, delusion, you know, at the end of it and so on. His arrogance left him at that time. He cowered there, he became a coward now, in his bunker at Berlin, assailed by dizziness and convulsive twitching. Because to Jack, he became so abnormal, you know. Occasionally, at the Bible, they say he screamed out, in his mad frustration. Then, as the Russians begin to enter the Berlin city limits now, what is it? He poisoned his mistress right away. Because the Russians are here, he was in Berlin, right? He gave his mistress poison and shot himself.
Wow.
That's what happened to him. So, what do we learn from there? We are told in Daniel 11:45, the Antichrist. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. That's how his life ended. Who could help him? Nobody could help him, you know. So, this man, tonight, the only useful purpose to mankind about this man's life, to this world, is to show how the Antichrist will come to power. He really, really replicates, you know, in so many ways, the coming of the Antichrist. So, now, one more thing before we close that here quickly. So, Hitler has three successive blitzkriegs, or if you mean intense military campaign, like the Antichrist we have. You know, there are 10 kings, right? Quickly, he smashed three of the kingdoms, right? Quickly. Hitler has three of them, too. Number one, in September 1939, he smashed and overran Poland. Number one. In 1940, he swooped down on Denmark and Norway, taking one nation over another. In a couple of hours, was done. Number three, in what became Netherlands and Belgium and France, fell a little over a month under Hitler. Just like the Antichrist, the Ten Kingdoms, deal with the three of them, crush them, every certain say so, and the seven of them quickly fall in line, right? So the same thing, you know, can you see in so many ways? Remarkably enough, the Antichrist will have three successive victories, like I said. Of the 10 kings, which comprise his territory, three of these are nations which will resist him, of course, initially. However, he will quickly subdue them. And the others, seeing that his power is apparently irresistible, will fall in line. That's in Daniel 7:24. Let me read that one. Daniel 7:24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Daniel wrote, that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and it shall be divided from the first, and it shall subdue three kings. That's what the Bible is saying. And this man, Israel, has similar things in his own experience, all the way starting the Antichrist. Thus, it has been with the great dictators of the past. Yeah, they are always like that, and so on, you know. Initially, they begin this aggression. They meet with a resistance. Then they will squash those people who are resisting them, and they will just fall in line. So the same thing will happen in the Antichrist case, as the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, right there. So, and I think I'm going to just be running up here tonight. So, the forerunner, just as the Christ has a forerunner, we already have a forerunner of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will negotiate with both the three defeated nations, talking about in Daniel 7, and those that stand by him. This will be for faith-saving purposes only, you see? And you know, to make it appear that these kings are actually joining him on their own free will. Not really. He will invite them as partners to join him in an enterprise to bring the world under a united government. Of course, what will that do? That will fulfill the following scripture in Revelation 17:12, which I will quickly read that one. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So we see that one idea. The nations have been in sore distress over what conditions? Like that. Right now, look at the world today. They are in distress now. Like a time as like never been before, you know. What the world is going through now? We all know what is going on right now. So the chaos, the uprising is all over the place. Popular unrest all over the world now. And many we perceive, you know, with relief that a strong man has arisen who can quench all these things, you know. And they say, oh, a sign of relief. One that is able to exercise authority and to force compliance with the law. See? That's the state of which the world is entering right now. So, realizing the need of a world government, they choose to put their faith into the hands of this new leader, who will be generous enough to allow them to retain what seems to them their sovereignty. That's a lie, you know. And so, they lend their power and strength to the beast. So let's finish off quickly with the world government here. So of course, one world government, for the past many decades, there have been attempts to establish a world government. Men have labored, they have tried many plans, and invented many panaceas in their hope of building a utopia world. They have always failed. The prophet of the Lord Jesus said this in Luke 21:25, the last part of that verse, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waste running, the condition of the world at the end of the time. See? So they want one world government because of what? Dreadful peril faces the world, even like today. The fear of nuclear warfare, which is an awful power to wipe out all cities, in a matter of seconds, vast quantities of hydrogen bombs are piling up the air with little letter power, calculated in megatons, or even millions of TNT, they call it, have been prepared, ready at the push of a button to destroy all nations. Overpopulation, one of it. Look at China, look at India, you know. Food shortages, you know. That is all this relates to the issue of the mark. Contract will come into place, right? Food shortages, you know, will be there. You know, famine, terrorism, disorder, distress over world conditions, chaos, uprising, popular unrest. All this already in the world today. All this and more will make many to perceive with relief that a strong man has arisen, one that is able to exercise authority and to force compliance with the law. They will choose to put their faith into this man's hand, this new leader, who will be generous enough, like I said before, to allow them to retain what they call their sovereignty. Don't forget, in closing tonight, talk about their previous attempt to world government. Of course, after World War I, 1940 to 1918, they formed the ill-fated League of Nations, right? And we have spent some time here to show how it was tied to the number 666 leader. Now, World War II, 1939 to 1945, which plunged the nations into a major bloodletting, hastened the demise of the League of Nations, right? And they formed the United Nations at that time. Again, we see so many, at least 666, so many ways that, you know, associated with it. So, and you know, but it showed no better promise. We are today, who knows what Trump, I don't know what he knows, praise God. He now is now pulling out of the World Organization, which is arm and leg of the United Nations, you know. I don't know what he knows, but he's doing something, right? say to, as of today, they are pulling out of WHO, you know. So I think it's a man of destiny, I guess. So anyway, so God, when they formed this thing, God was left entirely out of it. It's a godless organization, you know. And can you imagine? All the haters of Christianity and Jews are involved. Before you know it, Russia was part of it, right? It's part of it. And all the time, Russia has made the mockery of this United Nations by vetoing almost all the resolutions that doesn't fit its own way of thinking and so on. And of course, can you imagine? China was admitted. China, that a nation which wiped out 50 million of its own people, was admitted to the United Nations to establish its authority and so on. No? 50 million of its people were destroyed by its own self and so on. Of course, Vatican. Vatican was a couple of years ago was now part of the United Nations. See? You know? So, very the enemy of Christianity, who have murdered Christians over the time, they are all part of the United Nations. How can it be God? So, you see that now? And so on that, you know. So, anyway, so we know in finishing tonight, before our brother Charles, we just take the prayer session. Let's just read the promises of God. We are saying this thing, don't ever forget. Whenever to be afraid of any of these things. No more than Abraham was afraid when God told him what he become of Sodom. Praise God. See? I know it was an intercessor, you know, and I think the same lesson. Yes. Oh, I don't even know that, you know. I didn't know that. Yeah, I had a mistress, yes. Yeah, it's mistress.
So the one. I think he had to be about. And they were growing up and they were being trained, you know, like to have the kind of mind of people. If you see them, you know that they are just like. I don't know what happened to most of them. It was discovered.
And if it's so close, how much more the rapture of the church? Praise God. So in finishing tonight, Matthew 24:24, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Let coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Last scripture tonight, Luke 21:34-36. And take it to yourself. Let at any time your heart be overcharged with surfacing and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, the Lord said. Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Again, I say you spoke to them face to face, mouth to mouth. Talk to Abraham. Lord, we are so privileged, we are so thankful to you, Father, for showing all these things where the book of Revelation, Daniel, they're just symbols to the world. Like the word of God is a parable, to them in parables, but to us, face to face, is put to us mouth to mouth. So we are very grateful, Lord. What kings and prophets, you were trying to understand. Lord, you say, well, prophets, yes, I gave them to you to rise. It's for a people to come at the end of the age, and it is us at the age closing. So we thank you tonight, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us learn from the Jews, sir, never to forget the date of our visitation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Time indeed is short, Lord. And we worship and we adore you, Lord. And we know your thought towards us, Lord. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give for the expected end. Lord, thank you for letting us to know that it's a way of escape. We just pray tonight, ask us to pray that you account us worthy to escape all these things, Lord, and to stand before you. Blameless, Lord. And we are so glad you are the one who will present us to yourself. So we present us blameless, you know, and unrebukable in the name of the Lord. We exceeding great joy before the presence of your holiness in the book of Jude. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. And we can say even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Only help us to occupy continuously until you come, Lord. And we thank you that the diversity of administration of the Holy Spirit, how this witnessing is going on in the whole world, that your personal one, one sit in their house and they can even witness in China, in Russia, using the same technology that people are using today. So, Lord, go until the last one comes in. So, help us to be occupied until you come now, Lord. In our patience, help us to protect our souls, Lord. I would say, even the husband man himself is patient, waiting, you know, for the precious fruit of the earth until he receives the early and the later day. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, sir, for the coming of the Lord. Great night. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lead us to the
house. I just want to read one scripture.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Revelation chapter 12.
Okay, yes.